heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To find out more about Hank Hanegraaff or one of his resources, go to our website at www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to your questions in just a moment. Your question answered on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. But as many of you know, we have been following the predictions of Harold Camping, as well as those of so many other date setters. And the one thing that we have discerned over the years is that they are 100% wrong 100% of the time. And as I've often articulated on the broadcast, ideas have consequences, which is to say, you can't simply write off the declarations of prophecy pundits as no harm, no foul. People make life decisions based on what they say. And right now, as you cross the United States and Canada, you can see billboards announcing May 21st, 2011, as the very time that God is going to rapture 200 million believers. You also can hear the words, the very daunting words, of Harold Camping, who says, "If you do not believe that the rapture will take place, May 21, 2011, you are not going to be raptured." But not only are you not going to be raptured, you cannot be saved. And there are a lot of people who do not know how to discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light that are making life decisions. And when I say life decisions, I literally mean life decisions based on what this false prophet with a $100 million ministry is saying. On the Bible Answer Man broadcast, not all that long ago, I got a call from Carol in New Jersey, who was extremely concerned. In fact, this is precisely what she had to say.
You know, I have a very serious question here. I'm extremely concerned about the May 21st, 2011 prediction. I actually have some friends and people that are so scared that they're not true believers. They're thinking of killing themselves if they're not true believers because they're so afraid of this May 21st. Do you know anything? Can you enlighten us on that?
Here's an example of people who are literally thinking of killing themselves. But people have already given up their jobs, their families, their futures, because they do not believe that anything will go past May 21st, 2011. And Harold Camping, as interviewed on NPR just recently, said there is no plan B. And when countered that he had made such predictions before, he said, well, that was because my research wasn't quite complete. In other words, he wrote a book, not just a book, a very thick book, indicating that after September 6, 1994, no one else could be saved. The end has come. And now says, well, his research wasn't complete, but he is absolutely certain that this time his research is complete, and he can know beyond the peradventure of a doubt that May 21st, 2011 is, in fact, the day. He is 100% wrong. Unfortunately, he has made his declaration public over and over again, not only in the spiritual courts, but in the secular courts of opinion as well.
for example, I at that time had not gone through the book of Jeremiah, which is a big book in the Bible that has a whole lot to say about the whole matter of the end of the world.
So you're not planning for May 22nd?
Oh, absolutely not. It is going to happen. There is no plan B.
Well, let me say to Harold Camping what I said to him last time. If he really believes his own rhetoric, why not seed over the $100 million worth of assets in family radio to the Christian Research Institute? Because we can definitely use those assets for the propagation of the genuine gospel long after May 21st, 2011. And I'll say it one more time with absolute certainty, Harold Camping is not only wrong, but dead wrong. If you want to find out how biblical prophecy really works, I have a brand new resource out. It is available for your donation to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. It's titled Jesus Christ, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone callers. First up, David. He's listening on the web in Reading, Pennsylvania. Hi, David.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great, thank you. So I have a question. I'm having a healthy debate with my friend, who for the past 3 days, I got his mind changed about the guarantee of divine healing and the atonement, and how he believed that physical healing is a guarantee with salvation in this present time and present world. And through biblical talking and debating, he opened up his eyes regarding Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24. Now, he asked me a question on Luke 17:6, because he's really been in the Word Faith movement, and he's had struggled with the positive confession aspect of it, which he asked me about Luke 17, verse 6, which states about having, you know, excuse me one second.
Yeah, have faith in God. I mean, that passage, like other passages, points out that if you have faith in God, what you hope will come to pass 100% of the time in accordance with the will of God.
Perfect.
What subsumes the passage is have faith in God, which is to say that God can do anything. But if your faith is in your own faith, it is merely credulity. In other words, if you have faith in your own faith that you can move a mountain and throw it in the middle of the sea, that's credulity.
Right.
But if you have faith in God and it is His purpose and His plan to move a mountain, it is a small thing for God. The point here again is the difference between biblical faith and the faith manifested in the credulity of faith followers who are taught not to have faith in God, but faith in their own faith, which is to say, from their perspective, faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, they can create their own reality. That's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is a channel of living trust between a human being and their God. And as such, faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. Therefore, if it's faith in your own faith, it's ill-placed faith. If it is faith in God, you can be certain that the purposes of God will come to pass every single time in accordance with His sovereign will.
Right, so that's when in 1 John 5:4, when it says this is the confidence that we have before Him, that whenever we ask anything according to His will, He hears us.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that faith teachers will continually tell you. You should never pray, "Thy will be done." That's not faith. That is the antithesis of faith. In reality, from a biblical perspective, that is precisely how our Lord taught us to pray. The same thing is true if you look at James 4 and 5. James makes clear that to pray in any way other than in accordance with God's will is simple foolishness. It is precisely what the world does. It is not what a biblical believer does.
Right. Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it.
While you were talking, I found in Mark, Mark explained Luke.
Yeah,
Mark
exactly.
11,
22,
when Jesus replied to them, have faith in God.
Yeah.
I assure you, if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted. Okay, it explains it right here. Perfect. Scripture does interpret Scripture.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it, my friend. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to John, listening on the web. He's in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, John.
Hey, Hank, listen, I've been reading The Covering. Thank you so much for that book. It's taken a big load off my shoulders as far as the devil and demons and all the bugaboo stuff. It's great. And I wanted to get a little better on top of being able to witness. And I guess Jesus, the Superstar of Bible Prophecy, would be that book to get. But one thing that's been kind of weighing on me is that, you know, you give so much. You know, have this great program. I downloaded all your stuff on iTunes. I've got so much great material. And I know that you were saying that you need to raise $350,000. And then we've got this guy out there saying in 4 days the world's going to come to an end, and he's got millions and millions and millions. It just doesn't seem fair. So what I want to do is, I know there's hundreds of thousands of people listening right now, and I want to ask them, I'm going to donate. I mean, if I donate $100, it'd still be a drop in the bucket. But if I donate $10 tonight, and I want to ask everybody out there to go to equip.org, click on the donate tab, and just punch in $10, if we can get 35,000 people out of the hundreds of thousands of people that are listening right now, then Hank will have his money that he needs to do all this great stuff. I mean, I think that's fair. $10, that's like dinner, right?
Well, I tell you what, I unexpected pleasure to have you say those kinds of things, but that's what it takes. It takes an army of people. It's not just the people that work at the Christian Research Institute. It's the people that stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially that make a difference in the lives of real people for time and for eternity. I so often said I'm working myself out of a job because I'm literally not telling people what they want to hear, but rather communicating to them what they need to hear. And so often, people misperceive what I say. And as a result of that, they say, I'm not going to support the Christian Research Institute because Hank does not believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. Or because Hank is saying that we have to read the book of nature just like we have to properly exegete the Bible. In saying that, I'm not always saying those things that are popular or politically correct, but I am speaking about those things that people need to understand. So we do what we do because truth matters, and we need people who love the ring of truth to stand with us, both prayerfully and financially. Obviously, prayer is firing the winning shot, so pray for us, and if you can support us prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated.
Come on, everybody. Let's do it tonight. Let's get this $10 each, quip.org, click on donate. I'm going to do it right now, Hank. Thank you so much for your ministry.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. And remember, you can listen to the broadcast in many different ways. Obviously, you can listen to it live on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can even listen to archived broadcasts. Also, we're now on Sirius XM 131, so you can hear us on satellite radio as well. Again, the address on Sirius XM is 131, so check it out if you have satellite radio. Also want to mention before we go to break today that you can join us on an Alaska cruise. I'm going to be talking about the issue of origins. This is a hotly debated issue. This is an issue in which I believe there's unnecessary tension between the old earth camp and the young earth camp, a tension that can easily be resolved both on the basis of scientific orthodoxy as well as scriptural orthodoxy. And when I speak about scientific orthodoxy, what I mean is simply this. We must, as Christians, recognize that God has left His imprimatur on the universe that He created. And therefore, we must take seriously the evidence that is available in the scientific record. Why is it that we believe today in heliocentrism as opposed to geocentrism? It is because the evidence is there for all to see. So again, join us on an Alaska cruise in which we talk about the issue of origins, an issue which is axiomatic to how you live your life. You can go to the World Wide Web at equip.org and just click on the ship. We'll be right back.
The Christian Research Institute is a ministry dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and our website, equip.org. But to continue this vital mission, we depend on your faithful, prayerful support. If you see the life-changing impact this ministry is having, please join with us on a consistent monthly basis so that we can continue to equip believers with the tools to stand firm in their faith and reach around the world with the transforming power of the gospel. To partner with us on a monthly basis, call 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man will return in just a moment.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The debate between human freedom and determinism has been raging for centuries. Gain a biblical perspective on human nature in John S. Hammett's article entitled, Between Radical Freedom and Total Determinism. The information age has many benefits, but it also has a dark side, information overload. Learn how to navigate through cyberspace with James Patrick Holding's article, The Mesmerizing Misinformation Maelstrom. Other topics include problems with the gold plates of the Book of Mormon, the legacy of G.K. Chesterton and Dorothy Sayers, Jesus, the begotten Son of the Father, and much more, as well as the insightful Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Is the Antichrist alive today? Will the temple be rebuilt? Are we living in the tribulation? What is the mark of the beast? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today. Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in scripture interpretation. Now available in softcover. To order, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to our secure website at equip.org. Many people throughout history have declared themselves the Messiah. So how can we be sure that Jesus is in fact the one and only Messiah? In Hank Hanegraaff's newest booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, Hank gives seven memorable points of messianic identification that leave no doubt Jesus is the one. As the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle fit together perfectly to reveal a clear picture, so when we study messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, we see clearly the one and only face to emerge, the face of Jesus Christ. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support, we'll send you Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, to give you the assurance that no one but Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. Call 888-7000-CRI
or go online to equip.org. After 10 years, the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, returns to the Vancouver, BC area on June 2nd. Joining Hank for one spectacular evening of teaching and worship is editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, Elliot Miller, and Grammy Award-winning musician, Steve Camp. There will also be a question and answer session, so come prepared to ask your question. Reserve your free ticket by May 27th. You can register online at equip.org or by calling 877-768-2784, extension 100. Again, that's 877-768-2784, extension 100. Well, let's return now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick note that I'm going to be talking about the issue of origins in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So bring your questions on the issue of origins, an issue that we're going to be talking about as well on our cruise to Alaska. Right now, I'm in the process of working on a brand new book. It's a Creation Answer book, which will be out later on this year, where I deal with issues that I've never before dealt with in my answer books on the issue of origins. So again, Vancouver, British Columbia will be a seminal date as I deal with the issue of origins and answer questions. Quite frankly, I've never publicly answered before. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jim. He's listening on Sirius XM 131 in Westfield, New Jersey. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question was about the book Heaven Is for Real, and I just wanted to see if you have read it, what your thoughts were about it.
Well, I haven't personally read the book, but our research department has gone through the book very, very carefully. And I suppose the one thing that I would say is really important, and this is a consistent principle that we've been speaking about at the Christian Research Institute, is that experiences are notoriously unreliable. And as such, we always must test our experiences in light of biblical truth, which is to say that the Bible is the final court of arbitration. As such, we test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. Particularly, we test our esoteric experiences. Because again, experiences are notoriously unreliable. One thing we know for certain is there's no biblical warrant for seeing and petting the horse of Jesus in heaven, particularly the rainbow-colored horse that is talked about in this book. There's no biblical precedent for suggesting that people have wings in heaven. In fact, quite properly understood, heaven does not exist today as a place. Heaven exists today as a person. My dad, for example, died in 1997, absent from the body. He's present with the Lord, which is to say that he is non-physical. He is in the presence of the Lord, but his physical body has decayed in the grave. Heaven will be a place when, as Hebrews puts it, the Lord returns a second time. When he appears a second time, he will put all things to right. And paradise lost then will become paradise restored. Which is to say, at that time, there will be a physical place. Now there is not a physical place. So again, the suggestion of people flying around with wings may be cute, but it's not biblically correct. The idea of having wings and halos, in fact, has more to do with mythology than with Christianity. So again, I caution people, as you read books that are meant for popular consumption, do the right thing. Test all things in light of Scripture. Hold fast to that which is good.
All right, Hank. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Will. He's listening on Butt Radio in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Will.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'd like to know if there's a way that Christian men can know how to dress and how to appear to other people. I know that there are some people who think that it's wrong to have long hair, it's wrong to have tattoos, or different kinds of hair that are unconventional, like a mohawk or piercings in the face, etc. I mean, you know where I'm going with this. I just want to know if there's really a biblical reason for that, or if it's simply unacceptable in society.
Well, I'll give you the biblical principle. You can never blur the distinction between the sexes. That's the major overarching principle. Also, you do not want to associate with paganism. You want to be a witness to those who are trapped in paganism. So from a biblical perspective, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with tattoos, which is to say, the admonition against tattoos in Leviticus were specifically designed to set Israel apart from pagan practices. Therefore, if in fact today you can wear a tattoo as a means of witnessing to paganism, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with it. The point is, as Christians, we are in the world, not of the world, and we're called to be a witness to the world, a testimony of the redeeming power of Jesus Christ.
What about the verse that, I wish I could quote it, but I can't, the one that has to do with long hair, a man should not have long hair?
Well, again, that goes back to the principles, and that's in 1 Corinthians, but it goes back to the principle that we are called to be separate or apart from the world. So the idea, once again, becomes don't be a microcosm of the world, but be set apart from the world, and do not blur the distinction between the sexes. And that is essentially what is going on. If you look at Samson and Samuel in the Old Testament, they had long hair.
Mm-hmm.
The Savior in the New Testament more than likely had long hair. Hebrews considered it an honorable thing for men to have long hair. But the Greek long hair rendered in the passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is talking about adorning the hair in a manner that reflects femininity rather than masculinity. And that ultimately is the distinction that Paul is making within the context of that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Okay, so I suppose, just to refine the answer just a bit more, I do understand what you're saying, but can you give me a clearer picture of what a Christian man or woman should look like in this day and age?
No, I can't. Because the point is not that you have to live up to my view of what it means to be a man. What it means simply is that you need to honor the Lord in everything you do, and therefore many of the decisions that you make are decisions that you make privately with your Lord from the perspective that you want to, in all things, honor the Lord. Which is to say, it may be very appropriate for you to wear a tattoo, because you feel that the Lord has directly called you to minister within a particular culture and context, and tattoos help you in that process.
By the same token,
it may be bad for me to do the same thing because I'm not called by the Lord to do that same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I work in the entertainment industry, and I've been actually in the past have been in a lot of rock bands, and I've always been a conservative appearing person, and so for me this has never been an issue. But I wondered about it. One of the reasons I choose a conservative appearance is because those I admire look that way. And also, I think it gives a clearer picture of what people can expect from me when they talk to me.
Yeah.
They don't assume that I am something that I'm not.
Yeah.
So I appear to be what I am. When people look at me, they see a conservative person, and when they talk to me, that's what they find out that I am. But I just wondered about this because, there have been times in my life where I'd considered, growing my hair out or whatever. And one of the things I thought was the tattooing seemed to me to be a sort of defacing of the body, not something that we should be doing. And I thought that perhaps some of this piercing and tattooing of the body that we often see in pagan cultures was actually satanically inspired.
Yeah, and that's exactly the point. It's an identification with paganism as opposed to being separate from paganism. But again, the principle here, I think, is really good as you've communicated it. You are seeking, as God calls you, to be light and salt within the context God has placed you. But that does not mean that someone else in the exact same circumstance may not use those very things which you'd feel uncomfortable with as a point of identification that becomes a bridge by which they can be a better witness. The real issue is everything you do must be in order that you can be salt and light in a lost and searching world. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Paul. He's listening on the web in Midwest Oklahoma. Hi, Paul.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'm studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses and witnessing to them, and I'm using Ron Rhodes' literature against the Jehovah's Witnesses, and he claims Jesus can't be the Archangel Michael because angels aren't called sons of God, and he references Hebrews 1:5. The Jehovah's Witnesses reference Job 1:6 and claim angels are called the sons of God, and Ron Rhodes is therefore a liar. And I didn't know how to handle that objection.
Well, I mean, Ron Rhodes is obviously not a liar. He is a person who is being used by God to reach out or teach people to witness to the witnesses. But beyond that, I think that specifically to your question, Hebrews is designed to show the difference between Jesus and the angels, which is to say Jesus is utterly unique. In fact, Jesus can legitimately demand worship, whereas an angel, when an angel is worshipped, has to say, no, worship God. This is clear, for example, in the very last few pages of the book of Revelation, where John is shown a vision, and he bows down to an angel, and the angel says, do not do it. I'm a fellow servant with you and the brothers, the prophets. Worship God. So the uniqueness of Jesus Christ is shown in the book of Hebrews and is a place where Paul equates the idea of beginning with the resurrection and demonstrates that Jesus Christ is begotten, not made. Jehovah's Witnesses want to do exactly the inverse. They want to say that Jesus Christ was created by God and then became a junior partner in the creation of all other things. And to do that, they have to tamper with the text in both John 1 and most particularly in Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15, where they insert the word other four times to make Christ not the creator of all things, but rather the creator of all other things. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your number to call, 888-ASK-HANK.
Many people throughout history have declared themselves the Messiah. So how can we be sure that Jesus is, in fact, the one and only Messiah? In Hank Hanegraaff's newest booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, Hank gives seven salient and memorable points of messianic identification that leave no doubt Jesus is the one. In appreciation of your generosity and prayers this month, we'd like to send you Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, to give you the assurance that Jesus Christ alone could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. Donate to the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or by going to equip.org. We'll return with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast in a moment. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumbled seekers and galvanized skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has put together the best articles from the Christian Research Journal into three books designed to equip you with a Christian worldview and help you become an effective witness. The book entitled What is Truth teaches you to counter the sweet poison of relativism that seeks to destroy truth and the people of the God of Truth. Whose Ethics, Whose Morals weighs the trend of moral relativism and the notion that right and wrong are simply a matter of opinion. And Islam, What You Must Know, not only presents a true picture of Muslims in our community, but also ways to reach them for Christ. Order What is Truth, Whose Ethics, Whose Morals, and Islam, What You Must Know for a special package price by contacting the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or you can order this package online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. Now you can join the Bible Answer Man Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7-plus inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe. All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and five-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. Probing today's religious movements, promoting doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and providing reasons for faith and ethics. The Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that no Christian should be without. Be prepared with the knowledge you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Judy. She's listening on Bod Radio in Tupelo, Oklahoma. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Hank. I listen to your program every evening when I come home from work, and I really enjoy listening to you. But what I can't understand is about this book of nature. I've never heard of it, and you're the only person that I've ever heard mention it. What is this book about? Who wrote it? And why do we need to read it?
Yeah, well, the Bible writes about the book of nature. And here's how you read about this in Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out unto the ends of the world. So the point in Scripture is plain. From the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. This is the thing that animated Western civilization. The Greeks believed in reason. Augustine, at the very embryonic stages of Western civilization, made clear that reason apart from revelation always ends up in the blind ditch of ignorance. Reason must always be augmented by revelation. And we have in Scripture special revelation, whereas in nature we have general revelation. And you see both very beautifully depicted in the Psalms of David, particularly, as I just mentioned, in Psalm 19.
Very beautifully depicted.
I'm sorry.
Particularly, as I just mentioned in Psalm.
You there, Judy?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Does that help? Well, evidently you're listening to the radio at the same time that you're listening to me, but hopefully that answers your question. Again, the book of nature is a way of referring to God's created handiwork. And just as we have special revelation in the Scripture, we have general revelation in the world. And that is why we recognize that the heavens themselves are a testimony to God. So we have an outer witness. We also have an inner witness. We have the knowledge of God written upon the very canvas of our consciousness. And if we respond to the knowledge without and the knowledge within, we can receive the knowledge of Christ. And that knowledge of Christ is knowledge by which we are saved. For Christ is the only one by which we can be reconciled to the Father. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk next to Lee, listening on the World Wide Web in Virginia. Hi, Lee.
Hey, what's going on, Hank?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I actually got through. I'm surprised I got through. I have a question. I was at work, and I was having a discussion with one of my coworkers about modern-day apostles and prophets. I wanted to get your take on that.
Well, we have the Bible. It is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. And the Bible was written by the apostles and the prophets. And those apostles and prophets were unique in human history. So those prophets and apostles will never be restored in any sense in which we might say there are super apostles or prophets around today by which we can receive revelation. No, we already have the revelation by which we test all human revelation. The problem, or I would say even the bane of modern-day controversialists, is not only predicting the future, but also supposing that we have modern-day prophets and apostles in our midst, and that their prophecies or their expositions are on par with the Word of God, and nothing could be farther from the truth. We must always test their revelations in light of the revelation we have already received.
That's kind of how I felt. I kind of really had no position on it. It's kind of made me think. We have, in my church, we have an overseer who is an apostle, and I just kind of iffy, you know.
Well, again, look, here's one of the principles that I talk about on the Bible Answer Man broadcast all the time. Words are not univocal, they are equivocal, which is to say they take on the meaning that the context allows. So certainly there's a sense in which you can use the words prophet or apostle. Apostle could be used in the sense of a church planter, in the sense of a missionary, a pastor of pastors, or a prophet could be used in the sense of a leader who inspires the church with vision for its mission, or one who challenges the church to a deeper commitment to Christ. But they may not be used in the sense that is synonymous with the first century apostles or the Old Testament prophets.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. That's kind of how I was explaining it to my coworker. I just wanted to get your standpoint. I know they're listening right now. I told them I'd get the answer from you. And
I've also written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And before we go to our next caller, I want to pause for just a second and mention that when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I will send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is my way of saying thank you. Not only send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, but I'll personalize it to you, a family member or a friend. Every day when I come into the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute early in the morning, I personalize the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition to people who have joined the monthly support team as members that stand with this ministry, making a difference for time and for eternity, giving on a regular basis every single month. Also, for your special gift of $100 or more, I'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized, again, to you, a family member or a friend. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or as always, you can call our resource consultants. They're standing by, 888-7000-CRI. I do remember you can also write me, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Evelyn, listening on Sirius XM 131, New York, New York. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I don't know if you remember me, but I met you at Camp of the Woods 2 years ago. If you don't remember me, you probably remember my guide dog, a golden retriever named Patty.
You know, Evelyn, I do remember you now that you now that you make that association for me.
Yeah, it was really nice to meet you then.
Likewise.
But I do have a question. I don't like the Word of Faith movement, obviously, mostly because I'm visually impaired and they're always attacking me about, you know, healing and stuff, or a lot of them anyway. But there are some verses that seem to support it, and I guess it kind of bothers me. I don't know what to make of them. Like, there are verses in the Gospels where Jesus said that he could do few miracles. He, like, limited himself because the people hadn't the faith. I think in Capernaum, I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, but this doesn't limit Christ's ability. Remember that Jesus Christ did not divest himself of a single attribute of deity. He took on the limitations of humanity. So the text is not intended to say that Jesus could not. It is intended to communicate that Jesus would not. And again, you have to exercise faith in God. The whole notion, Evelyn, is not that we are not to exercise faith in God, but rather that we should never exercise faith in our own faith. In your particular condition, God could instantaneously heal you if he wanted to.
Yes.
He created you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. So obviously he can heal your eyes. But God has a purpose. God has a plan. And all of us live in a fallen world. And therefore Christianity has never been intended to give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies or the difficulties of life. Rather, it is designed to give us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the power of Christ's resurrection. So we look forward to a time in which we will see clearly, not only with our physical eyes, but also with our spiritual eyes. And, you know, one of my heroes of the faith, Evelyn, is Johnny Arcsentada.
Right.
And she often says that she's looking forward to the day that she will pole vault the pearly gates. And it is a way of saying that she's looking forward to the day that she will be completely restored, no longer a quadriplegic. The same thing is true with you. There comes a time when Jesus appears a second time, and then that which is wrong with this world will be put to right, including your eyes. So you will fully see.
My question still is, does he let himself, not by divesting his power, you can't do that, he can't do that. I mean, you know what I mean, God doesn't lose his power because we don't believe he has it or something like that, but does he, I mean, it sounds like he does sort of let himself be limited when we don't have the faith that he can do something.
Well, that's right. I mean, we have to I mean, we're part of the process, aren't we? Which is to say that we are called to have faith in God.
Right.
Which is to say that there's nothing wrong with you praying, Lord, if it be thy will,
right,
heal me and give me back my sight. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That is properly putting your faith in Jesus Christ. The inverse would be to say, I don't believe in the power of Jesus Christ, even though he's displayed his power in many different ways. He's displayed it in the universe he created. He's displayed it in my life over and over again. Yet I do not believe in the power of Jesus Christ. If you take that position, then you might as well be like the first century people of whom Jesus said, I might as well wipe the dust from my sandals and move on, because you see my power, and yet you deny my power. So we are called to have faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to stay in the studio for an extra hour once we go off the air today. We'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A lot of you hanging on right now. Let me give you the number to call for the next hour. I'll continue answering your questions for the next hour, and I'll play my answers to your questions in a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you're hanging on right now, please be patient. If you want to call in your question during the next hour, here's the number to dial. You can start dialing that number right now and for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. For everybody else, thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer difficult Bible questions, and strengthen believers in their walk with the Lord. To find resources to help you, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumbled seekers and galvanized skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook.
When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.